Matthew's Gospel, chapter number
27. In Matthew 27, the Bible said, when the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put Him to death. And when they had bound Him, they led Him away and delivered Him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, which had betrayed Him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders, saying, I've sinned in that I betrayed the innocent blood. They said, what is that to us? See thou to that. That's just like the world. They'll get you hooked in and then leave you. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple, departed and went and hanged himself. The chief priest took the silver pieces and said, I just seen something. The world lets you hang yourself, young people, and then turn right around and walk off and leave you. The devil made a barter with Judas, and for 30 pieces of silver he sold Christ. Be careful not to name your price, because the devil will be sure you get it. You say, well, if nobody shakes my hand, I won't come back. I wouldn't put a price on it. The devil will be sure to give it to you. Well, if my feelings get hurt, I'm not going to serve you. You better be careful not to put a mark on what it'll take for you to sell Christ. I'm going to serve Him long as my wife stays with me or my husband stays with me. You better not name your price, friend. The devil will be sure you get it. He went and hung himself. And then the world turned on him. That's just the way it is. Y'all might well sit down. I'm going to run around. Young people, that's just the way they done me. All the world ever wanted out of me is what they could get out of me. And long as I could befriend them and do something for them, then they was my friend. But when I had spent it all and thrown it all away, they didn't care if I'd go hang myself. They was done with me. Hey, young ladies, you better watch these little old boys. Because after they done used you up like a dish rag, they'll throw you away. And if he won't come to the house of God with you now after you marry him, he sure won't come to the house of God with you later. The world will just use you for what they can get out of you. And so we find Judas, and by the way, as soon as he throwed it down, somebody was low enough to stoop down and get it. The Bible said the chief priest took the silver pieces, said it's not lawful to put them in the treasury because it's the price of blood. And they took counsel and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Well, that's just like a lot of people. How often men try to clean up their dirty money by charitable giving. I won't give my tithes to the church, but I'll give out under the Moose Lodge. A little child got burnt and got a little jar at the cash register. You say, well, I'll try to clean up this blood money and give to that young'un. Hello. The same jar you putting your money in, you're buying a lottery ticket at. Somebody ought to bend you over that counter and give you a good booyah by the grace of God. Boop, boop, booyah. That's what you need. Young'un starving to death and you're giving the money to the devil. Look out, I preach this morning. Your young'uns ain't had a candy bar, but you'll buy a lottery ticket. Your young'uns need some clothes to put on, but you'll buy a $40 carton of Marlboro. But you ain't got no mission money, have you? Woo! I told you it's going to get spooky this morning. Something about Judas just reared up all of a sudden. I ain't even seen him much this morning. All of a sudden, he just appeared. Any of y'all ever see that? How it just gets on you all of a sudden. I know a lot of folks stoop low and pick up money that other folks done throwed down. So we find Judas, he sold Christ. I know a lot of Baptist churches has put a sign on him for sale. They said, well, if the crowd gets low, so that's about you. We're going to quit preaching, and so we're just going to sell out. Can I tell you, honey, our church ain't for sale this morning.
Amen.
Hey, I've heard a lot. Well, that King James Bible confuses people, preacher. People can't understand. You will if you'll get saved, friend. The Bible said the carnal man can't understand the things of the Spirit of God. But you get the Spirit of God in you, you can understand the one that wrote the Bible by the Spirit of God. The Spirit wrote the Bible and He can write in your heart and tell you what He's saying. You don't need a new Bible. We just need to try to preach and walk out of the one we got. And that is the King James Bible. By the way, I'm dogmatic about the King James Bible. If it's good enough for Grandpa and Grandma, it's good enough for your grandbabies this morning. It's a big difference between a young lady and a virgin, amen. Your NIV says a young lady. Young lady couldn't get nobody in this world, friend. Oh, I'm telling you what, it took a virgin for the Lord Jesus to come and die for us, a perfect sacrifice that had never known sin, pure blood this morning. Your Bible says, young lady, you ought to throw it in the trash, amen. She was a virgin. I'm dogmatic on the right kind of Bible. And boy, a lot of people took a sign. They said, well, you know what? This is what we're going to take for it. If somebody gets a little hurt at the preaching, then we're going to back off the preaching. I'm going to tell you right now, I was raised in a country, and you throw a rock in a pack of dogs, only one that hollers is the one that got hit. Somebody say amen right there. And that hit dog hollers, and ain't nobody else going to say nothing about it. But we find Judas now. He's raised his head up. He sold Jesus. Hey, let me ask you this morning, and it'll probably be another message another day, but what's your price? What you going to take for Jesus? Hey, a nice education, you get a good job, and they pull you out of here and put you to work every Sunday, just go name your price. The devil will be sure you get promoted, friend. Well, my kid, he makes all-stars, and you know we got to travel all around the country and keep him playing ball. Well, go on and put your price out there, friend. The devil will be sure that you get what you name. Amen. Absolutely. And I'm afraid all of us got a price. We better be careful we not tell him what it is. And so we see now that here's a character that surfaces, and he's Judas. He sold Christ. He goes out and he hangs himself. And now there's another Bible character raises up in Matthew 27. His name is Barabbas. The Bible said in verse 15, now at the feast of the governor was wont to release in the people a prisoner whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said to them, whom will you that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? Now, for he knew that for envy they had delivered him. Verse 20, the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. You know, a lot of us, just like Barabbas, I can't believe that he let me out of where I was. Barabbas was fixing to stand and die, friend. And they walked up and they said, okay, crowd, you'd rather have Barabbas or Jesus. That's a lot like a lot of places I know this morning. They'd rather have Barabbas than Jesus. That's a lot of homes I know. We'd rather have Barabbas, a bunch of thieves and murderers. But we don't want nothing to do with Jesus. Amen. Amen. And so I got something just reared up right there. I might as well clean the laundry out this morning. It amazes me how God's loved us in spite of ourselves. I mean, we think we've done something because we just try to live right, not lie or cheat or steal. That's just basic fundamentals. But honey, when God come to us and saved us and pulled us out of a prison house of our sin and put Jesus in our place, well, thank God what He done for us. We was all a bunch of Barabbases this morning. The only difference in those out yonder in the chain gang and some of us that I'm a preaching to this morning, they got caught and we didn't. Some woman turned her nose at me one time. I do some prison revivals. She come to me and said, you mean to tell me you'll go in them kind of places and preach to them kind of people? I said, yes, ma'am, what an honor to be able to go to somebody's youngins. To go to somebody's babies that got on the wrong track and the world's thrown them away. But you can go in and present the gospel to them and tell them the old, old story that Jesus saves, Jesus saves. I walked in a jail cell one morning and asked a young man where he's from. He said, I'm from Fruithurst, Alabama. I said, where do you go to church? He said, I go to Fruithurst Baptist Church. I said, son, I just run a revival there 3 weeks ago. I mean, I seen him last year. That's what he told me. It's a small world. Hey, friend, you ought to thank God that Jesus let you out of where you was one day. You was headed to hell, but He reached into your cell and got you out by the grace of God. We're all just a bunch of Barabbases. Could you imagine on death row? And all of a sudden you'd been sitting there and you'd been dreading the next morning. And I mean, you was really searching in your life what you was going to do. And all of a sudden, about daybreak, you heard something like this. And they come down the aisle and come down to your cell. And you said, oh my Lord, they fixing to come and take me to the gallows. This is my last morning. And He stuck the key in the door, and maybe He cried and said, go on and take me to the gallows. And He said, no, you don't understand. He said, this is your day. This is your day of grace. Said, there's a man called Jesus, and they taken Him to crucify Him, and He's told us to come and let you out. I thank God by the grace of God this morning, friend. One day He come by and stuck a key in my jail cell and let me out by the good grace of God. Jesus took our place. Thank God we've got a Savior that loves us like that this morning. I didn't see no Baptist stepping up to the plate. I didn't see the Pharisees stepping up to the plate. Friend, Jesus stepped up in our place and saved us from our sin and led us out of our jailhouse, our prison house. You know, there's no difference in a prison of addiction this morning. I hate for anything to have me in a prison. And I'm going to tell you, I served the devil too many years. I'm not going to give Him the glory for it this morning. But I'm glad in 1981 Jesus come by and let me out of my jail cell. And I was held captive in my sins and He let me out. But now we see another Bible character. Not only Judas and Barabbas, but we see now Pilate's wife appears. And the Bible said in verse number 19, when he was sat down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him. She probably sent him a letter. Saying, have thou nothing to do with that just man, for I suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. Boy, I like it when God wakes you up. I like it when God slides in there and lays down beside of you. She said, listen, she sent him a letter and she said, this man you're fixing to crucify, said, you better watch what you're doing, friend. Said, I'd have been woke up because a dream about him. And the dream showed me he's a just man. Amen. Some dreams are true. And you better line them up to the Word of God to see if they hold salt or not. But boy, ain't it amazing. Here's a woman that God troubled in her sleep. The Bible says something about that. The Bible says the cover gets narrow and the bed short. You ever laid in the bed and seemed like you was laying on rocks, something bothering you? I mean, really bothering you bad. You know you had done something and God would give you light and you hadn't reacted on what He'd give you yet. And boy, I can remember when that Saturday, boy, when that old man of God come by. And friend, I'm going to tell you, God is my witness. The things that I'm ashamed of this morning. I was rolling up in a piece of paper and light and trying to get away with my troubles. But friend, when I come down, my troubles was there. I looked out in the driveway. Brother David seen the old man of God. I took my devil and raised up the couch cushion and throwed it under the couch. And God is my witness. The man of God come and sat down right on top of my devil. Hallelujah. He looked at me and he said, hey boy, are you saved? And I told him the biggest lie I'd ever told. Yeah, I'm saved. But honey, something happened that day. The preacher left, but the big preacher stayed. And that night, my bed got narrow. And my cover got short. And I thank God that he come to me in the bed one night. Your problem is, reason some of you ain't got saved, he ain't troubled you in your bed yet. But a friend, he come in there and lay down beside of you. Your bed get real little. Now thank God He can trouble us in our bed. And so we see this Bible character sort of fade out. Preacher, what happened to her? I don't know. God wrote it down. God knows where she is this morning. But I want to get down to this next verse where I want to preach out of. And we see another Bible character, and his name is Pilate. Now, Pilate evidently didn't listen to his wife. Sometimes, hey, Mr. Ego, hey, Mr. Matt Dillon, sometimes we better be listening to what our wife's got to say. Somebody say amen right there. Now, I know for you henpecked boys, that ain't no problem for you. But for some of us boys got guts, amen, that comes a problem sometimes. Go on and punch him, lady. It'll be all right. Say, preacher, preaching to you this morning. But he didn't listen to his wife. And I find he's very confused. Because his wife told him the truth. Said, you better not do nothing to this just man. Said, I've suffered many things this day in a dream cost him. And so verse 22, Pilate said unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all said to him, let him be crucified. Father, I beg you to help me this morning. I beg you to touch the closest one to a devil's hell today. And you'd save them by your mercy and your compassion. Save them by your grace. Help us in the preaching now in Christ's name. Amen. This morning, I want to preach out of this text of Pilate's question. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? I'm preaching on the decision of Pilate. I want to ask you, what are you doing with Jesus that died on a cross for you? What are you doing with this ultimate question that's so eternal in the eternal realms of this world? Friend, there are eternal decisions. What are you going to do with Jesus? I want to say there's some Bible characters that has told us what we can do with Jesus. I've got a good friend in Acts chapter number 16. He was a jailer. He found out he could believe on Jesus. In Acts 16 and verse number, I like this, verse number 20. Paul and Silas had been to town as preaching the gospel. The Bible said that the rulers, they brought them to the magistrate saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city. Boy, I hope that I'm the type of preacher when I leave, the devil has camp meeting. I hope I'm not one of them little old flim-flam sissy preachers that when Obama passes this ordinance, you can't preach no more, that I just plumb dry up. Brought them to the magistrate, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city. Said they've got out our box and got off our chain. Them Baptist boys ain't doing it the way everybody else is doing it. They troubling our city. And they teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them. And the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailers to keep them safely. You know what this preacher had been? I'd been a whining. I'd been a moaning and a groaning. My goodness, some of y'all look at me different, and I'd get meaner than a junkyard dog. I like what Paul done. What an example in verse 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. I'll never forget one night I was preaching in a revival, and this text was on my heart, and I stopped at a four-way stop, and I said, God, I want to know something, Lord. I'm trying to be one of you preachers, and I'm trying to be a Christian and follow you. Lord, I want to know something. How in the world was these boys singing in the midnight hour? Holy Ghost spoke to my heart, and He said, read your Bible, you'll get the answer. The Bible said they prayed first, and then they went to singing. Can I tell you, prayer can change things this morning. Prayer can change the sound of your song, and prayer can change your tune about things this morning. It amazes me. You ever wake up with an old bad attitude? I can tell looking at some of you, I can tell the way some of you dress, you got a bad attitude. I can tell the way some of you look. But you ever notice this, when you got a bad attitude and you go down and you pray and you get up and you got a new attitude? Sound like to me, prayer changed you if you get a hold of it, friend. No, my goodness, wouldn't it be a blessing if we'd learn to pray, then we could sing. Hey, Brother Tim, could you imagine a choir that was prayed up and go to praising God and singing? Lord, we'd scare the average Baptist church to death if we really got in this thing of praying. Somebody say amen right there. So they was a praying. They went to singing. In verse 26, I like this Bible word. Suddenly, boy, that'll tear up a church service. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everybody's bands were loose. God set the prisoners free. Can I tell you, He's still setting prisoners free this morning. And the keeper of the prisoner now, the jailer in verse 27, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we're all here." And he called for a light. And he sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. I like that word, trembling's a Bible word. Got under conviction. That's what we're missing in salvation and true conversion, is conviction. Hey friend, you'll never get saved till you get lost. He was trembling. He wasn't popping bubble gum coming joining the church. He's seen he's fixing to die and go to hell, and he is in trouble. And verse 30, here's the text now. There's a jailer knowed what to do, and there was a jailer told to believe on him. Said, and brought him out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Boy, I'm glad he didn't ask that boy in Oklahoma, because he couldn't have told him. But I'm glad I've hung around some men of God that knowed how I was to get there. Look what he said. And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved." Now, he didn't say nothing about Muhammad. He didn't say a word about Buddha. He didn't say a word about Joseph Smith. He said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ." All roads don't lead to heaven, friend. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by Him. The Muslims now, they're building a mosque where the buildings were burned downtown New York. And our president, he's given his opinion. Well, it'll be all right. We're American. I understand all that. But let me tell you something, friend. Muslims are not our brother and sister. You say, "Listen to me, preacher. You ought not get so wide out there preaching. What's that got to do with it?" Somebody better be telling your young'uns Jesus is the way to heaven. And if you don't go through Jesus, you die and go to hell in your sins. They don't believe Jesus is the Son of God. They don't believe that Jesus is the way to heaven. They think He was a prophet. And let me tell you, friend, this book teaches me, and it teaches you if you'll read it right, that if you want to know God, you'll have to know Him by Jesus, His only Son. Boy, I'm glad. Don't get quiet on me now. We've allowed this stuff come in our country, and that's why it's in this kind of shape. Our forefathers never would have stood for what we stand for this morning. Killing babies by the thousands, homosexuals walking through this country, taking our babies. Let me tell you, friend, there needs to be some old granddaddies get up out of the grave with a walking stick, take charge of this country, and believe this Bible again. My granddaddy got out of the grave, friend. He'd hurt a lot of people's feelings. He said, "Y'all doing what? They do what? Y'all kidding me, ain't you?" That old man carried a hickory walking stick. Amen. We need to put one on the pulpit. Somebody say amen. I got the best walking stick I know right here. So he said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus." Have you ever believed on the Lord Jesus? I've never been the same since I believed on the Lord. I always believed in Jesus, but I've never believed on Jesus. You know, the Bible says the devils in hell believe and tremble. You say, "Well, preacher, I believe in Jesus. I know I'm saved." Is that right? Have you ever believed on Jesus? I mean, has there ever been a time that you was like this jailer, and the Holy Spirit began to deal with you, and you came trembling. You realized you was lost and dying and going to hell. But you cried out to Jesus to say. Now watch this. This is a great truth in the Word of God. He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. I love to watch these old tough boys, their wife get saved, and they say, ah, there ain't nothing to that. He just ain't come, gotten to bed with them yet. I told Miss Victoria, I said, Miss Victoria, this Bible's right, ain't it, hon? Household salvation. You got saved, and now little Stephen got saved. You got saved, and your wife got saved, or your wife got saved, and you got saved. That's the way this thing works, friend. He might not do everything Friday night, but you just hold on. He's going to do what the Word of God says He's going to do. Household salvation. Now notice when he got saved, he said, thou shalt be saved in thy house. And verse 33, he took him that same hour of the night, washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straight away. Brother Dave, I've noticed after we get saved, we want to try to take care of what we've done wrong.
Right. Yeah.
I want to wash them stripes out I've put on you and try to make something right that I've done wrong. Have you ever believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? There's nobody like Him. You say, there was a jailer taught us to believe on Him. But there was a group I want to share with you this morning in closing over in Luke's Gospel, chapter number 8, that not only a jailer taught us to believe on Him, there was a group in jeopardy taught us to bank on Him. In Luke's Gospel, chapter number 8, and the Bible said in verse 22, now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said to them, let us go over to the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, I could preach 2 hours out of this verse right here. He fell asleep. Hold on, I'm not going to preach 2 hours. I want to help you now. Stay with me. Some of y'all done got more preaching now than what you want. But as they sailed, watch, he fell asleep. There came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water. And here's that word. They were in jeopardy. Danger. Danger. They came to him and awoke and said, Master, Master, we perish. Things fix to start picking up now. He arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said to them, where is your faith? They being afraid, wonder, saying one another, what manner is man this, for even commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him. Now I want to get here this morning. I'm fixing to close over in that next verse of 26 on the third thought. But before I get far from this, those that were in jeopardy could bank on him. I want you to notice what happened to them. Just exactly what's happening to me and you. You see, the Bible says that the devil, he's the prince and the power of the air. But aren't you glad we serve a God that's setting up over the prince of the power of the air? You see, he knew them disciples. He knew Jesus was headed to the shore because he was fixing to meet a demoniac man that needed to be saved. I can tell you when you're fixing to find out the Lord's going to do something, when the wind gets up down at your house, down in your boat, and you go to getting filled with things that you've never had happen in all of your life. But you just hang on, honey. That's what the devil does. The end of the story tells us there's a great Jesus that can get up on the bow of the boat and say, peace be still. Hey, friend, listen to the preacher this morning. There's a lot of men that talk about the weather, but there's only one man that can speak to the weather, glory to God. I'm glad he said, lay down, wind. And there was a great calm. You ever notice how things in your life, you go to getting in the boat with Jesus and the storm gets up, you know how come the devil's trying to get you to quit rowing? The devil's trying to get you to jump out of the boat, but what you got to understand, friend, Jesus is in there with you. And a lot of times you may not can hear Him and you may not can see Him, but He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. One of the greatest things the devil can ever let you in on is things bad in your boat. Because, honey, he knows when you get over there where Jesus is going with you, you fixing to have blessings and you fixing to see things that you ain't never seen in your life. Somebody help me preach this morning. Somebody say amen, would you? Hey, friend, the devil will try to get you to throw the oar out, but you just hang on, honey. They smooth sailing ahead. Canaan's land is just inside. Jesus is going to do great and mighty things. There's a man told me this week, he said, my goodness, he said, you talking about storms. He said, since I signed that book in there, what we was going to do for a missionary, he said, the storms got up. Boy, that's a good indication for me that you're doing something right. Amen. You say, the devil didn't bother me when I went somewhere else to church. Well, friend, I guarantee he's going to bother you when you get around the Word of God and you're sitting in the boat with the Lord Jesus Himself. But you just hang on. God's a fixing to do something that you don't know nothing about. I've noticed pastoring here for nearly 16 years. When the storm blows, and the devil goes to working and waters down in the boat, you just hang on. Jesus fixing to do something big. And that takes me to my third point. I'm glad I found out what you can do with Jesus. There was a jailer taught me that I can believe on Him. I'm glad I believed on Him. There was a bunch of disciples was in jeopardy. They taught us that I could bank on Him. You can bank on Him. You hear me, friend? You can't bank on your 401k. And you can't bank on this world, but you can bank on Jesus. You can bank on Jesus. Carry it to the bank and write it down. You can bank on Jesus. But there's a boy just got saved. He found out he could brag on Jesus. See, they landed. And they landed in verse 26. They arrived at the country. You know how come they arrived? Because Jesus said, hey boys, we going to the other side. Oh Lord, I'm glad He's done told me I'm going somewhere. They arrived, and when He went forth to land, there met Him out of the city a certain man which had devils a long time, wearing no clothes, neither abode any in house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before Him with a loud voice, what have I to do with Thee, Jesus, Thou Son of God Most High? I beseech Thee, torment me not. Verse 30, Jesus said, what's your name, boy? He said, Legion, because many devils were entered into Him. And they besought Him that He would not command them to go out in the deep. There was there a herd of many swine feeding on the mountain. And they besought Him that He would suffer them to enter into them, and He suffered them. And the devils went out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place in the lake and were choked. I ain't never liked deviled ham, have you? Amen. That's on the low end of the ladder when you're eating deviled ham, amen. And when they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. They went out to see what was done and came to Jesus. Now watch what happened. I'm done. They found the man out of whom the devils was departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus. They said, old man brought something out, Brother Dennis. I've never seen this text this morning studied. He said, ain't that something? When he was full of the devil, he got in Jesus' face. When the devils left him, he got at His feet.
Yeah.
God, ain't that something? Some of you boys was all up in His face screaming, I don't believe in You, God. I don't trust You. But He done something to you. And now you fall at His feet. God, I love preaching, don't you? Brother Driver, I love preaching. Let's now watch your Bible. Verse 37, the whole multitude of the country, the Gadarenes, ran from them, for they were taken with great fear. And he went up in the ship and returned back again. Now the man out of whom the devils was departed besought him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, return to thine own house. Now watch your Bible. And show how great things God hath done to thee. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. There's a boy just got saved, taught us we could brag on Jesus. Matter of fact, Brother Wendell, Jesus saved him. And it's just something about after Jesus saves a man, he wants to hang around Jesus. You see, saved people goes to church, friend. Don't you think that this old preacher just got a mean spirit in him trying to belittle you? I'm trying to get your eyes open. If you're saved, you want to be around Jesus. He said, Lord, I sure would like to go home with you today. Lord, I sure would like to load up with you in that boat and go where you live. And I just believe the Lord in His heart and His mind, He said, Legion, we'll have an eternity to do that. But right now, I need you to go down to your house. Did you get that Bible word, Brother Adam? Not so much talk about it, but show them.